give you glory. That we will yet be blessed again. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We have been having a long conversation about church. We looked at why church. So I came to help us also see how important it is that we get to realize that the church is a school. You come here to receive edifications and exhortations, but also the church is a school. So we come here to learn. And I made us see how that teaching is a part of our worship, right? So whenever we gather and we prioritize the teaching of God's word, we can call that worship as well, because it's the learning and hearing of his word that causes us to serve him rightly, right? So when we have reverence for the word, then what that means is that we worship him rightly, because he is exactly God's word to us, right? So whenever we give priority to the teaching of God's word, we worship him in that. Do you understand?
Yes.
Great. So when you sleep, when the word of God is coming, but when it's time for dancing and you're wide awake, we're not too sure whether you understand what that means actually. So the worship of God will also be seen in receiving his word. Yes, how you listen. Because sometimes we don't like to listen very attentively. We're listening and then our minds are wandering around the whole place. But I trust that we're going to learn something this morning. So church is a school as well. We gather here and we gather here to learn of the one that we call our God. Right? So we have been having conversations around church, around why church. And in today's service, I feel led to talk about something very important as well, around the same conversation. And just like we always do, we'll take it a bit further, right? And we're going to be looking at how we fit into the local church. How we fit into the local church. And by this, I'm talking about understanding our role in the local church. What is my role in the local church? Remember, I told us that the synonymous names of the word church will be assembly, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Gathering. The bride of Christ. Right?
Yes.
What are some of them I taught you? What do you remember? Saints. All right, saints. Right? The household of faith. Right?
Yes,
so, assembly and family, right?
Yes.
So when we gather in his family or amongst his people, there are roles. So there are roles in the local church, in that gathering. So today we're going to be looking at what is my role in the family that I belong. What is my role? You know, we're not looking at people who are just going to be saying, oh yeah, we are members. We are members. Oh, that CFCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCCC the last time I was in there. They are pastor. That's so we need to have roles, and we need to understand that we have roles of belonging to the local church, right? So in daily life, we have roles. Now, if you're a sibling, I'm like the first one, so I get to understand that very perfectly. And you get to realize that there is a role, whether you like it or not, that falls on you. How many of us have been lashed because our siblings did something we were not even aware of? But when they got to the hall, they lashed us together with other people that did not know. And the culprits themselves were left unlashed. Right? And they beat you like mercilessly. Then you're wondering, like, why are they doing this to me? Because there is a role. I remember somebody called me some time ago, and I think it fits in. She was telling me how that her sister was always collecting the backlashes. And I was like, that's because there's a role on her. Even if you did anything wrong, they're going to see her as reason for the wrong that you did. The fact that she couldn't tell you and advise you that, boy, come home early. I mean, come home early. The person goes out, they want to come home at their time. Then you are now blaming me for making sure that the person comes home early. Or you're blaming me because the person came home late, right? So there are roles in daily life. Blessed are you if you don't have such roles. Some of you are last born, so you just receive and take what is given you. So they are roles, they are responsibilities. Do you understand? Great. So in your job as well, they are roles. That's why it's called a job specification, or your role. What role are you going to play? I mean, if we employed you as a medical doctor or a pharmacist, and then we came in and we found you brought in two different engines, right? You have engine oil. Then your manager maybe comes in 2 hours after you come in. Then we find out that you are busy. You have engine oil the whole place. Right? So when we get in there, we're going to be confused. What role were you supposed to play? Because you have a responsibility to whatever you've been employed to do. So there are roles at your workplace. And unfortunately, some of you go to work and you're pressing your phones. That's not too good. Right? Not too good. When you go to work, you told your family members that you were going to work, not to play. Are you listening? Right. So there are responsibilities. There are roles. There are functions that define your being in every place. How many of us have acted in movies before? Or a drama? You were part of a drama club. Okay. So you were given roles, right? I also remember a time where somebody told me that she was given a role to cry. And she actually could really cry. Yeah. So she said that there was a time where they had to act the scene like over and over again. And all of those times, she had to manufacture tears because she was given that role, that responsibility. She was supposed to function as a crier. I mean, some of you can do that. Like when you just do you just got your eyes. That's magic. That's magic. So it means that not understanding your role will mean that you are out of play. You cause discord. You don't live up to the expectation for which you were put in that position or in that place. So in the local church, remember, we belong, right? So it means that we have roles and responsibilities. The believer, similarly belonging to God's family or assembly, has roles and responsibilities. And the goal will mean that we live up to these roles, these functions. Have you seen, there are some families, maybe firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, and then maybe the lastborn sort of becomes like a leader to the first, second, third. Because it seems like the first, second, third don't care about anything. So the last one now has to usurp authority and now call the first one and say, oh, they said we are contributing this. I've not heard anything from you. Right? So there is a role. But normally when you neglect that role, there's going to be a problem. It means that you're not going to be functioning the way you ought to function. So in the local church, don't forget, there are roles. Let's see a scripture. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and his intent is to describe how the church should function. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16. He uses the human body to speak about how we ought to function together as an assembly. So when you say, nobody can tell me what to do, you can't show me. No, we can show you. You belong. You're supposed to be playing a role in the church. Say, no. Allow me do what I want to do. They should allow me. Nobody. No. No, I don't understand why, you know, one church you go and it's one thing after the other, one complaint after the other. We will not allow you. We will not allow you because you are out of place. You're out of place. And because we don't want you out of place, we ought to teach you how you ought to be in place. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So in the church, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And, you know, Ephesus is quite an interesting church. They had a lot of idol worship, goddess Diana, giving to, you know, some very interesting things. So he reaches out to the church in Ephesus, preaches to them. Then he realizes, no, there's something I need to draw their attention to, right? I'm supposed to teach them how they ought to be functioning as a family. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Do you see that? So he uses a human body and how they are fitly joined together. I mean, if we just entered here and we saw your head here and then like your body here, then I think it's very strange. It's like your eyes are joking with me. It's like, you know, when your parents have all the days, don't go home late. Don't stay outside late. Then maybe you're going outside walking, then you see something that you are not really sure. So your head is lying here. Then, it's like, Othniel's hand is like on the keyboard. We can't find the person there. No, I think we'll have to close the service. We need more explanations, right? So, Paul is using this to explain a reality. So he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. The whole body fitly joined together, not loosely, fitly joined together. And compacted by that which every joint supplies. So there's a supply of joints that are fitly joined together. Do you see that? So it means everybody's doing something. Hello? Everybody's playing a role. Everybody has something to supply. So he's saying that, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint is making a supply of one thing or the other. Every joint contributes. Every joint participates. Fitly joined together. Now he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So there's a function of every part. There's a way every part is supposed to function. Imagine your eyes begin to say, I want to digest. Going to be dangerous. We're going to be seeing things. So every joint fitly, joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Then what that causes is that it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So together as a body, as one supplies to the other supplies to the other, fitly joined together, it causes a growth of the body. It causes a strengthening of the body, right? But if we are not fitly joined together, this one has an issue with this. This one picks an offense with this. This one not talking to that. We'll have depreciated growth. We won't have growth. We'll have it depreciated. It's going to come down and down and down. So we are supposed to see ourselves as a what? As a body. Do you understand? So when we do this, we are going to be edified. We're going to be built firmly and strongly. What this lacks, that supplies. What this is deficient of, that supplies. So there's a supply of everything that's needed for the body in its whole to function. You know, when you find someone say, I've really thought about this family thing and I want to know God on my own. No, you can't know God on your own. He didn't create you to know God on your own. And you'll never survive knowing God on your own. I told the person, you can't be on your own. You will not survive. I remember telling someone, I said, you know what? You need to make a decision. You're either here or you're not here. I told the person, I'm giving you 24 hours. Make up your mind quickly. And I told the person, but I want to tell you in advance, you will not survive on your own. I had to tell the person, you're not going to survive. Because every joint is fit to another. Every joint makes supplies. Let me tell you something before we continue. Anytime you hear and you see the enemy trying to isolate you, he's trying to take away your faith and he's trying to kill you. Keep that in your mind. Every time. So that when you feel like not belonging, you know where it's coming from. Are you listening? So every joint is fit together, making supplies. Supplies. Now that's how we're going to grow in size. That's how we're going to grow in strength. That's how we're going to grow in the quality and the richness of what God has called us to do as a local church and as his body. Everyone doing his part. Don't forget, we're talking about my role in the local church. You belong. The body supplying all its needs. Now, for example, if you came out of school one day, right? And then you get to realize that, oh, the bus is going, right? Like maybe you're just there and you're just walking, you know, sheepishly. You thought the bus would be there by 7:30. By 7:25, you were still around. Then you saw, oh, the bus is running. It's coming. So it's now moving. Do you know what happens? In that split second, in a couple of seconds, the number of coordinations that would have happened will amaze you. So, for example, oh, the bus is gone. And maybe you can't walk over there. Suddenly, right? Your brain is set on fire. Those are your every neuron in the brain is set to function. Right? Remember, the brain will send coordinations to the hands and to the legs. Like, you need to really run, if not, oh boy. And maybe it's an exam too. Oh boy, 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 boy. So the brain, the moment you say, coordinations. So there's a hand, there's a feet. Now, in those coordinations are further coordinations to bones and muscles. Like, Charlie, you need to run, right? So you make up your wheel, or you have a wheel, or the wheel is already there because you have already missed it. You have to catch the bus. So there's coordination to the hands, there's coordination to the feet, there's coordination to the bones, there's coordination to the muscles. Do you know that? Pay attention. Do you know there's also coordination to the heart to start beating suddenly? Because oxygen will need to be sent to every part of the body to make sure you're running to the spot. So the heart begins to beat. Now, it's just not that alone. The heart supplies blood, but also supplies nutrients. There's a further coordination to the lungs. Like, you need to make adequate exchange of oxygen and all of those processes available. So you see, in 1 second, the brain, the hands, the feet, the muscles, the bones, the heart, the lungs, that's not still all. The brain actually is still working to keep you in balance or in motion. So while you are running, you don't find running like this before you realize you are falling down. This is the bus is gone. It has left you. So there are coordinations. So the brain sends all of those things. Now, while you're having those balance, you know, balance there, you're trying to keep your balance. There's also coordination from the brain to the eyes to keep looking at the bus that you are running towards while looking for obstacles on the ground. So you're right there in 2 seconds while you take that step. There's several coordinations that would have happened to your body in 1 split second will amaze you. Now, Paul is in Ephesians 4 likening the church to the body. So you see why you can't say that I'm the leg, I'll succeed. Succeed and let's see. Right? So you see that there are several things that happen in the body. There are several things that come together to form the body. The local church, there are several things that keep running in the local church. So you do yourself good when you belong, when you know your place, when you know your role. And obviously, that will stem from a place of knowing what Jesus has done for you. Because the moment you don't understand, you're going to say, we are not really sure. This church, we are not sure. We're not really sure. They said that Jesus is fake. That's what we heard. Have you heard it too? You said, no, not really. So, there are roles. There are roles, responsibilities, functions to the family that you belong. Now, doing all this makes Jesus so glad. makes Jesus so glad. If I see you sleeping, I'll let you stand up. Just giving you a heads up. So, there are roles. It means that none of us are supposed to be idle. Supposed to be idle. As for you, you only come to church the moment we close. You have already arrived at the main junction. Spanner already. Then the person was not here. let's see you at. See, brother, did you come to church today? Oh yeah, I was in church. Hey, brother. Oh yeah, pastor was in blue and white. Yeah, I told you. He was wearing another blue trouser. I was there. No, you watched it online. Oh no, I didn't watch it online. I didn't watch it online. If you like, didn't you see that they bought new speakers? So you were there. Oh yeah, I was there. Oh, Pastor, talk about my role in the local church. So brother, how? Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes you are very, as the first. It's a lie. It's a lie. Write this. We're moving on into the rules. A key role of the believer is to see himself as a minister. Now, it's going to get a little bit technical here, but I'm trusting God for that. A key role of the believer is to see himself as a minister. The key role of the believer is to see himself as a minister. Let's see something in Matthew chapter 20, verses 28. Matthew chapter 20, verses 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to do what? To minister. Right? He came to minister. He came to minister. Now the word minister will mean he came to serve. Or wait upon. To serve. Or wait upon. Now, pay attention to the context of the scripture. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Now, his ministration was that he should give his life as a ransom for many. You're seeing that in your Bibles. You need to look in your Bibles to see that. So, his ministration or his service as the Son of Man was that he should come and give his life as a what? As a ransom. So, in other words, if we asked God, what was Jesus' role or responsibility? I'm sure he'll tell you to die. like to die. Are you serious? God. Yes, just go and die. Go and die. And that is your role, and that is your responsibility as Jesus. So, Jesus came to serve others. And his service was seen in his death, burial, and resurrection. See something in Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Verse 8. Okay, Romans 15. Verse 2 and 3. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Do you see that? So, he came, and his very reason for coming was to do what? Not to please himself, but to please the Father, right? In his service to us as the Son of God. So the word minister there is to serve, to wait upon. Oftentimes used, you know, in the services of a waitress. You know, so when somebody, you take the restaurant or you take a place and then the person is waiting for a call. Yeah. Unfortunately, Ghanaians, we don't have a lot of those waitresses. I went somewhere and I realized that I think the reason why we don't have good waitresses is because we eat a lot at chop bars. Yeah, so the chop bars are there. Hey, brah, you ain't even bah, oh, bah, now, tonight, I'll be okay, and you're bah, why? Right? So I went to a place, and then I moved into the place. And you like stories? I won't tell you because it's like you are listening now better than you were listening before. So I got to the place, and the lady said, "Oh, you're welcome." I said, okay. We're at a good place. I said, "Oh, could you please go to the top? We'll see you in a few minutes." I said, "The way I'm trying to explain to you, waiter, waitress, the chop bar ones, they are not. They get angry easily, like chicken one." Kotoji one. Then you say, no, please remove the Kotoji. You say, no. We are not removing it again. What care for the thing? What kind of trouble is this? And some of you have been saying, oh, macho mommy, you'll be fine. Why? You need to beg the waitress to do you fine. So I got in there. She said, oh, wait here. I waited there. A waitress came. And see, sometimes they say that if the person who is there has been able to pay there, we think that the person is very wealthy. Yes, and I also said, yes, I'm wealthy because I'm anointed. So I got in there and I was sitting down. And they said, no. Please, you can relax. You know, I was on my phone texting. Oh, seeking is. Oh, please, please relax. I said, so I relaxed, and she said, "No, put your legs on the table." So I said, so I lifted my leg and I put it on the table. And then she brought a white towel. And she said, are you I'm teaching you the role of the local church. That's what I'm teaching you. So that you don't come and say, why are the chairs dirty? Who should clean the chairs for you? Who should clean the chairs for you? Okay, so I sat down. She said, put your legs on the. So I put my legs on the. She brought the towel, waiting. And she said, the place is too cold. So just cover yourself a bit. I said, so I took the towel and I spread it on my legs. And she came again. I said, what about this people? This people. Small spa. And she said, what would you eat? And I said, water. You know what she asked me? Warm or cold? I said, give me warm water because the place is cold. I can see that it's really cold. So she brought the warm water.
My God.
And I was sitting there pressing my phone again. And she came again. Take your seats. And she said, should I tell you what she said? She said, what would you have for a start? And I said, you know, at that point in time, I wanted to catch the 5 p.m. prayer. So my time was going quickly. So I just said, you know what? Just give me water. And she was very sad that I said she should give me water. Yeah, she was very sad. Some of you... Who is the waiter? Do you have at the back, but for now, salad. What kind of salad? Chinese salad? What salad?
Chicken salad.
What beef and all of those things? Chicken and all of those things. Just give me something. Chicken with a touch of beef. So I said, no, you just give me water. So she came and she said, what else would you eat? I said, I'm honestly fine. Let me just do what I came to do. And she said, not even tea. And she asked me, she said, what tea do you want? Some of you don't know, there are different types of tea.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
I remember saying to someone that I like tea. And the person brought me different types of teas.
Wow.
Over maybe a number, different. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Different types, different flavors. Some of you don't, only you know.
And
Lipton. No, there are different types of teas. Receive different types. Do you know that some teas are there? They are roots and they are chopped into small. Have you seen some? You see? They say, hey, and they come in. Oh yeah, they come in their own cups. So, and the cup has a sieve on it. So you scoop the roots like thing and you put it on the. I don't think I have a chance. Sit down. And she said that I should come. So I said, okay, just give me water. She came again. Tea, what kind of tea? I said, please, just let me quickly do what I'm here to do. And she came again. And she said, cookies. I said, okay. It was those cookies I left on my bed. I brought it and I couldn't even eat the cookies. So, you see that? So I didn't eat. I just got into the, and there was another person waiting to massage.
Wow.
But no matter what, Aboniki does better. So, I'm trying to explain to you. I'll tell you my Aboniki story another time. It wasn't funny at all. What happened to me? I will never forget. So I'm just trying to help you understand how that your role in the local church should be likened to the waiter, or no, the waitress at the place. Not the ones you have at Bush Canteen and all of those places. So, we're waiting. We have a heart that's committed to serving. The same role and responsibility is given to angels. Okay, see Romans 15, verse 8 again. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a what?
Minister.
He was ready to serve. You know I'm serving you by my preaching to you.
Oh yes.
Yes, I'm serving you. There are different types of servings. So Jesus was a minister. Don't come to church and feel like somebody should do something for you. No, when you do that, you are neglecting your role. See Hebrews chapter 1. Same use for angels. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits? Do you see that?
Yes.
So angels are ministering spirits. They are there to serve. Are you listening? In the plan and in the purpose of God. So are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister, right? For them who shall be heirs of salvation. So angels are sent to serve. They wait for God's plan and God's purpose for you to serve. Do you understand?
Yes.
So when you see sometimes in a service, I see angels serving. Yes. They probably minister to you about somebody, or they probably heal someone, or you see them just moving through the crowd and giving things to people in the service. And sometimes they move around and they take things from people in the service. So they are ministering spirits. They are employed to serve. We saw that Jesus is a minister, right? His angels are ministering spirits, right? Great. So we need to come to a very clear consensus and to settle that ministry will be seen in what Jesus did. Do you understand? It will be seen in what Jesus did, of which he passed on to the apostles, and we have received of the doctrine of the apostles. So sometimes, you know, the church has to be very careful, and that's why we have to be also very careful, right? We, as a church, we need to be very careful. We don't have to make sure that we define ministry by what the world calls ministry. Jesus defines ministry, and we ought to receive of that which we've learned from Jesus through the apostles, and then we pattern it in the same way. We go about it the same way. Do you understand? Great. So, it's clearly to be settled that ministry is to be defined by what Jesus did, of which he passed on to the apostles, and of which we are beneficiaries of today, and we learn of. Are you listening? Let's see a few scriptures. I'll take you through very quickly. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. There are many good things that the church can do. It's not wrong. It's not bad. But we must clearly define what ministry is. Are you listening? So in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. What did he do to his 12 disciples? He gave them power, right? Against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and believe. So do we see what he is giving to them? Can we call that ministry? All right. Let's see Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Don't get confused. Don't say, I have a ministry to be called to an aerodynamic scientist. Don't be confused. I love aerodynamic scientists and all of those, but we must clearly know what we are called to do. Are you listening? So see Luke chapter 9 verse 1 to 5. Then he called his 12 disciples. Remember, he's giving them ministry, right? Now, if the church is going to be built on the doctrines of Jesus, and obviously of which they received from, of which the apostles received from him, we will have to also receive from the apostles, because we're building right from there, right? Yes, don't now come and say that Jesus Christ has called us as a church to build roads. No, building roads is not wrong. We don't have a problem with building roads, but we must know what he called us to do. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 5, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to do what? To preach the kingdom of who?
God.
Of God. And to do what? To heal the sick. Are we seeing what he's giving to them? He's giving them the power, the authority over devils and to cure diseases. And he sends them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, this is what he tells them in verse 3 to 6, to verse 5. And he said unto them, take nothing to your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, nor money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter there, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. So he's giving them the ministry of preaching, healing, right?
Yes,
delivering. The church must be foundationally placed on this. We received it from him and we ought to continue in that same manner. Are you listening? All right. So let's see what Jesus himself was doing prior to giving this responsibility to his apostles. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. This was what he was doing, right? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Can we read that verse together as a church? One, two, go. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So you see, we are receiving from him what he did. Hello? Okay, let's see Matthew 9 again. Sorry, Matthew 9, 35. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, preaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among what? The people. Now, we're reading verse 36. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So you see that he has a mind. Jesus was a very smart man. Every time I read the gospel, he was so focused. I think he knew his time was also very short. Not aside that, but he was a focused man. But he was very focused. You could see that everywhere. He went from Judea to Samaria to the utmost parts of the earth. Preaching, healing, delivering the sick. How that he speaks that the Spirit of God was upon him. How that God had anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were sick of the devil and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him working out his will through Jesus. The Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach deliverance to the captive, to heal the brokenhearted, to declare and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to recover the sight of the blind. So you see that he had a role and a responsibility in that he ministered in these variables. Are you listening? Great. So we're seeing that ministry first is defined by the ministry of Jesus. Don't get confused. Now, it's that sin he committed to the church. He's not confused. Do you realize that I showed you a story a few weeks back on how that they wanted to make him king? And he rejected it. He didn't want it. He didn't come to be king. No. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. His kingdom reigning and ruling is in men's hearts. Yes, that's what he's doing. He's not building factories. No. His kingdom reigning and ruling is in men's hearts. It's that men come to the knowledge of what he has done. And they live to perpetuate this truth of having other men coming to know what he has done for them as well. So in today, we can say ministry is that same example that we see in Christ. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor said.
Great. Now this ministry is characterized by what we call ministry gifts. Now, these ministry gifts, we'll see that in Ephesians 4 very soon. They are the apostles, the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists. But I want you to write this down. Ministry, into bracket, ministry gifts will be understood as the functions or activities of Christ. Ministry, into bracket, ministry gifts, will be understood as the functions or activities of Christ in his resurrection in and through the church. Ministry, into bracket, ministry gifts, will be understood as the functions or activities of Christ in his resurrection in and through the church. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. So we're saying that the activities of ministry will be seen in what he is doing in the church and through the church, right? Now, did we see what he was doing? We saw what he was doing. What was he doing? He was preaching. He was teaching. He was healing. All right? So we see activities of ministry governing him. Now, it's the same thing he's going to be doing through his church and in his church. Now, I'll tell you why I had to add ministry gifts, because there are gifts also that circulate the activities of ministry. So, I'm teaching us so that we can pattern our hearts to love what he loves. And by then, we're not going to be laboring in vain. See, God has called me to raise service personnel. And in this service personnel, the goal is to have them become trillionaires by the year 2055. Then, here, we'll have all the coins. Bitcoin, small coin, gold coin. Then Sunday, we have a segment. Caesar, I'm not taking notes, sir. Jesus will say, who is that one? What is that? Yeah? So, the church must not sway off. Are you listening? See what Paul says in Ephesians again. It's good to have to learn crypto and all of those things. You can go to a cryptocurrency school or a Bitcoin school. But don't use this church for that. Right? Don't use this church for that. His role has been clearly defined. We don't need to define it for him. You know, sometimes we think we're smarter than the Bible. You are just maybe 70 years old. And you think the church should believe what you have to say. And the church should stick to your wisdom. 2,000 years ago, where were you? But just 70 years, I don't know, the churches that have come, it's all about preacher and Jesus Christ and Jesus. I mean, they should put up some schools and some hospitals. My brother, you are not older than Jesus. And you are not older than his word. And I can tell you that the Bible is the most accurate book in the whole world. Archaeological facts, historical facts, you know, proven, tested over a period of time. So you're not the one to come and tell us that we should have a certain time where we. You're not the one to tell us that, eh? You're not the one to tell us that. Let's just follow what Jesus wants us to do. And then you can do every other thing else. We are not stopping you, but not his church. So, you see that the church must know why they are there. Now, we're talking about the role of the church, like my role in the church. So I have to make this clear again, right? See Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7 to 11. In fact, after he resurrected and he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 7, we'll see that in somewhere around verse 9 and 10. But unto every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. What's he saying then? Verse 7. Everyone. Not some. Everyone. Everybody is not called to preach. My brother, you didn't read Matthew 28. Pastor, it's like, I was praying sometime and I saw a vision. God told me that mine is not discipleship. Mine is, I don't even want to say what comes to my mind because it will be dangerous. So everyone of us is giving grace, is freely endowed with an ability according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone is giving grace, free gifts. Now, he's not talking about grace for salvation. He's talking about grace in ministry, because we'll see that in the conversations that come after. So everybody is given a special ability amongst us. There's an endowment amongst us. Everybody can do something in our midst. Everybody is endowed, bestowed a certain form of a gift to be relevant in the body. Right? Let's continue. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now he gave some, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of a ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the reason why he gave some is for all. Now the intent of some was to train all to be able to do what those some can do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not difficult to see. If you stay with me for a period of time, you should be able to do the things I do. It shouldn't be something very strange. Because that's why I'm equipped to equip you. So you will be able to do the same work of a ministry. Do you understand? Great. So he gives us these ministry gifts, right? And we ought to receive of these gifts. Now look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. We'll come back to Ephesians. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Right? So there are diversities, disparities, differences, graces, right in the body to equip everyone, right? Everyone. Everybody has something to give. You don't just say, I feel like I'm an accountant. So, when you are doing all of these flow in church and all of those, you pass away. When it comes to, I'll go to the bank, I'll see what I can do. Yeah, my mind is just that. So that's my own. No, you just need to be taught. That's all. Right? So they are varying, differing. That's why in verse 6, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing, they are varying. We function varyingly. We have differences in our midst, right?
Yes.
Our roles vary. They vary. This person can do something. That person can do something. This person can do something. And they vary. You know why he does that? So we will be dependent on one another. Just like the way the brain has to send impulses to all other parts I showed you, so that we can fall on one another. That means everyone has something to give. Now, we're speaking around ministry, first off. Everyone has something to give. Everyone has something to give. We're talking about my role in the church. Everyone has something to give. Don't say that you are a nigger, so. As for you, when you just, yeah, Charlie, yo, what's up, you know? Everyone has something to give. Everyone, I'm telling you, everyone. You know, after this teaching, eh? If you are not, I'm intelligently, by the grace of God, ushering us into various units or departments. Everyone has something to give. Everyone. Everybody. That means that you shouldn't be excited in the church and not having something to do with ministry in this place. Everyone.
Everyone.
So first, take your seats. Write this. I want you to write it the way I wrote it. The believer. We're going to have an activity here just to teach. It's a teaching and a practice. So the believer is expected to minister to other believers. Serve in the local church and serve with the gifts of the Spirit. Remember, we're having conversations around ministry. The believer is expected to minister to other believers, serve in the local church and serve with the gifts of the Spirit. So when we gather in this place, take that again. The believer is expected to minister to other believers, serve in the local church, and serve with the gifts of the Spirit. Let's see something in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And then, everyone. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. All in all. Everybody has something to give. That's beautiful. Everyone. We serve in the local church primarily by making sure we function in the gifts of the Spirit, ministering one to another. We're still building up very powerfully. Let's move to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Can we say that together? Every one of you. Do you see that? When we come together, every one of you, every one of you, hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edify. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a tongue, hath a doctrine, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edification. Let's take 2 minutes to do this. Those at the back, move a bit to the, those in the front, move a bit to the back. Those at the back, gather yourselves around. Get yourself in twos. Somebody you don't know. When we gather, everyone, this is how we serve in the local church. We don't come in idle, giftless. Everyone. Everyone hath a psalm. Everyone hath a doctrine. Everyone hath a tongue. Everyone hath an interpretation. Everyone. My role in the local church. So we come to bless others by the Spirit of God. We come to bless others by the Spirit of God. Do you receive words that bless?
Oh, yes.
Right. So, it's your function in the church. It's your function. It's your function. Your function.
My function.
So that's your first function in the church, is to have ministry, right? In the body, in the gifts of the Spirit. It's your first function. Now, yes, we're called to preach. That's to the outside. When we go outside, we go to preach. But right here, you think, brother, I don't know, the Lord had laid you on me this whole week, and I have been praying for you. That's your role. It almost seems like you keep coming to my heart, and I just decided to be praying for you. And you hold his hand and you say, brother, I really don't know what is wrong, but whatever it is, it's sorted. That's your role. That's your function in the church. So we come to bless others by the Spirit of God. You say, oh, I just don't know. I descend God's grace on you. Could you pray with me? I'm not feeling so strong today. And then the sister holds your hand and says, Father, in the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive strength in your body. And the person says, wow, I'm healed. Beautiful. It's your role in the church. You see, let's be quick to flowing with the Spirit. Every time. Every time. When you're called upon at any time, say, brother, I've been trusting God for something. Can you help me see into it? And you, who is told, don't say that, oh, who am I? Who are you? You say, let's pray in the Spirit. So said Bracky, so Stone Bracky does. Then you will see something. You say, I see this. So, oh, wow, that's what I've been trusting God for. Right? So, we are to minister one to another with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I think I'm used to having emergencies. I received that and I'm now used to it. So, when I receive an emergency, I'm not too perturbed. Emergencies come all over. I was here yesterday when Severi called me. Something's about his sick stomach pain. Say he should go to the hospital. You know, for once, I was like, okay, go to the hospital. And he said, Because he was looking for a ministry gift. You see that? It's not that maybe he can't do it. He probably might be, he can. But he recognizes something. And he is able to connect to what he recognizes. And he pulls out from what he recognizes. So, I'm on the phone. And what happens?
I told you about it.
Uh-huh.
And then we asked for a prayer.
Uh-huh.
And then we prayed for her.
Uh-huh.
And prayed for her.
Uh-huh.
And then she moved with her floor. And then kept praying. Put the hand on the stone. Followed her instruction. And then she was
healed. She was healed. Is she in church today? I see her behind. Is she in church today?
Yes.
So that's what you should do as well. So, oh, the person is about to be taken to the hospital. They say she should go to the hospital. Looking for a car, they are not getting. So I'm just like, you know, just relax, you know.
Relax.
Relax. Ministry gifts. You see, it's a beautiful thing, I'm telling you. Yeah. I received calls and calls and calls and calls. I remember a time someone calls me, person sick. I don't know whether I was almost sleeping or I was sleeping. And I just picked up the phone and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. You are healed. Ministry gifts. We minister one to another. So when you see me prophesying to you, I'm telling you, I would want to believe that it's not because I want you to come back to church on Sunday again. No. I am ministering to your needs. That's what is happening. I'm serving you what the counsel of God is. So, when we gather together as a people, we get to understand that there's that also there. Oh, please, you can't sit. I shared with you over the weekend how someone calls me, or 2 weeks ago, and he says, we went to the hospital, we tested for this, they said this was wrong, my liver was this, they said that was happening. And I said while she was talking, I was following, and the Lord says, no, it's not true. So I said, you are saying something, but I see that it's not true. So I said, you know what, get me a second opinion. Go to another hospital, right? It's not true. Then I said, okay, before that, come here. Let me pray with you before you finally go. Right? So I said, no, I don't think so. Because I don't see so. So she comes. I pray with her. Then I say, go to another lab. Go and run the lab. Let's have a second opinion. I don't see anything like that in your body. She goes back. She comes back. There's nothing. All figures were fine. Ministry gifts. We minister one to another. Your role in the local church. So, when you have the power of God, I tell you, it's not for show. It's not for show. It's because that's what is supposed to happen in the place. That's what's supposed to happen in the place. I remember a lady calls me from Cape Coast. She tells me, they said I have something. We run some tests. This was what we realized. And I said, for her, it was very serious because she was even crying. So I said, you know what? Keep calling me every day. Just get to hear from me every day. So she called me in the evening. No, not your sister. Just in case. It's another person. And she keeps calling. So I keep talking to him. Then she goes back. She runs the test again, and there's nothing there. Oh. Ministry gifts. Ministry gifts. That's what I'm doing for you. So you also do for another. It's not just pastor. It's everyone in the fold. Everyone in the fold. We're going to come back to ministry gifts pretty much later. Number 2. I believe this will bless someone. This is blessing someone. So number two, the believer should also serve in the natural affairs in his local assembly. Ministry gifts. I received a call from somebody a few times. We have a lot of testimonies, though. We just don't share them. A lot of them. Yeah. The guy called me. He said that actually he had another issue. Yeah, so he called me some time back and he spoke about his genotype or something. Something. And I prayed for him and the thing actually changed. So he goes back after maybe 3-4 years later and realizes that there's a problem with his kidney or something. Then he now calls me. Then he says, man of God, do you remember the last time you prayed for me? I forgot to tell you that the thing had changed. Right? Did he forget? Oh, he had actually checked it there and realized the thing had changed. So he called me again. So now they said, it's now another, what do you call it? Since then, I'd gone to check again after three or so years. They now said, it is my, this, ministry gifts. We minister one to another. One to another. I'm using me as an example of how I do it for others. Then you can also do it for others. Do you understand? Great. I remember going for camp meeting with some of you. And then one of the camps, I think one of the sisters was going up I don't know what happened. And she twisted her feet. And then she struggled with the pain. And it was not going. And I think the few days time, it became worse. Then, I think it dawned on her that, Pastor can actually pray for me. So I kept on, I even told him that they should try and pull it for her. The first day. Because she didn't see that. Right? So I'm not going to be able to minister that. Now, I'm teaching you this so that you can see that in your brother.
Yes, Pastor.
If you can see it in your brother, you can receive what God has from him to you. So the second day, she now started limping. Then after one of the services, she came to me, she said, Pastor, you know, you must really. She came to me, Pastor, please pray for me. And I said, okay. So I then looked at her and I said, you know what? When I pray for you, you'll be healed. So I walked her out. Kelly was blocking her, helping her. And I bent down and I said a word of prayer over that pain. And I said, not tomorrow, not 3 days time, not 4 days time. You're going to walk perfectly well now. And she actually did. Right? So I think I've come back to it again, but we are moving forward. Number two, the believer should also serve in the natural affairs in the local assembly. There are 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 things that should be handled in the local assembly. Remember, it's my role in the local church. Are you listening? Let me help you see something very clear of a natural affair in Acts chapter 6. See, I'm not different from you. Do you understand? You can do anything that you have seen. And it's very easy to actually see and do. I think it's one of the easiest ways to become something. It's just to see that, this is how, then you also do it the same way. It's easy. So whatever I'm telling you, if you go out and you do it, it'll work. So we are serving in natural affairs. Let's go back. I keep going back and forth. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore? So serving tables, right? They leave the word of God and serve tables. Serving tables, they were serving food, right? They were found in other natural activities within the confines of the church. And in that church had a multitude of disciples. So they called the disciples and said, you know, we are foundational. That's why, you know, you should be trained so much that your pastor doesn't even have to help in arranging anything. Because his ministry to you also will be seen in his teaching of God's word. Right? Great. And it's quite some work. Don't you appreciate the teaching? You do? But you know it doesn't fall off just like that. It takes me sitting down and trying to scope it. Everything is well planned. All the examples I use, except for the ones that are inspired. Yeah. So that's me serving you. I'm trying to serve your minds in a certain way so that it becomes clear to you. Right? Great. So when the apostles realized that, no, we can't be serving them the word and praying and still serving them food again. So look what he says. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of what? Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint this business. So he's talking about serving tables. Then he talks about business. These are natural things to be handled within the confines of the church. Serving of the tables will entail the bowls being washed, because you don't eat from it. And the next time you are serving in it, the whole church would tie for it. Yeah? It's not. It's just an illustration. I'm not saying that you get tied for it. Please. Yeah? So you see that it involves washing the plates. Now imagine Peter preaching, teaching, explaining and expounding God's word and still supervising washing of the plates. The soap is finished. Then they come to tell him that. That's that guy like that, right? In every ministry. Yo, the soap. What kind of soap? I mean, you can't use your mind. Just get soap. I mean, soap is soap, right? Right? So the soap is finished. The water is finished. The bowls we used to wash the plates. James, let it fell. It fell down. It's cracked. It's gone. Right? So they had to have people who handled other natural affairs in the body. Imagine if your pastor has to do everything for you, then you gather, then I teach you again. It means that every joint is not supplying. Every joint is not supplying. Then it will not just entail serving of the tables, it will entail buying of the ingredients as well. Peter, Maggie, did you find Apostle Peter? He has sat down with Mary Magdalene. Salt, 2 bags. Onions, three pieces. So, rice, pepper, salmon. And Peter too maybe likes to joke. So he said, Abba. You can't eat the food without some meat or something. Pastor, now the protein, we need the protein. Wow. Okay, you add it. Okay, Calipo. No. You don't need Calipo. So, we need to push the food down. We need to push the food down. Yeah? It's like, Pastor, the bus, the bus, the bus, the... the bus. Pastor, we are not getting the driver. Oh, so you can't let me rest without any getting a driver. You can't look for your own driver. Those who are responsible are listening to me. See, we have not been able to raise the money. Pastor, we need some money for the bus. Pastor, please, we just a bit. 5 minutes time, you are calling me again. Pastor, please, the money has not come. The money has not come. What do we do? I just ministered. So you see that in that body, every joint, fitly together, supplying everyone in the natural affairs. So watch what happens, whom we may appoint over this business. Of course, you have to be full of the Holy Ghost. So the fact that you are behind the sound does not mean you shouldn't be full of the Holy Ghost. We catch you eating buffets outside as an usher. You are eating buffets outside. Where is this? No, she won't do that. Eating buffets outside. And when I want to shake you, you are saying, oh, pastor. Pastor, don't shake me. Oh. Every joint. Natural affairs. So, these people must have a honest report. They are people that are creditable. They are legitimate people. Yeah. If not, they will steal you. Maggie, 26, they'll make you 29.5. Yes. Full of the Holy Ghost, of honest reports, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, do you realize that this actually, we find Stephen actually here together with Philip? Yes. But we find them later on preaching. So they are not just involved with natural affairs. They are also preachers as well. Philip preached in Samaria. Miracles happened. Opened his eyes up. He was standing before an Ethiopian eunuch. Yes, full of the Holy Ghost and of power. One of preaching Stephen's sermons is one of the clearest on the gospel in Acts. Beautifully expounded. You will just be amazed. Stephen was an intelligent man, I believe. Beautifully expounded. But they were found serving tables. Serving tables. So, Pastor. Wow. Pastor, the Holy Ghost service you told us to do, I said, the way I prophesied, I said, wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, Pastor, I'm going to start my church very soon. You see? You can't even stay and serve the brethren. You want to start a church. Hey, my God. And you won't go alone. You want to carry some of our people away. Hmm. So these people are chosen and they are serving in natural affairs. Natural affairs. They're found serving. They're serving tables. But in serving of tables, they preach. They teach. We should be able to send you. It's a natural affair. You know, one time I felt the Lord telling me that you are missing it. You're missing it. Look at all the people you have and you can't send them. You have to be involved in everything. I felt like he was telling me that you are not serious. You continue like that. So I advised myself and now I say, hey, go here. Go and see the price. Take a picture of it. Send it to me. Also go here. Every joint supplying together. Imagine if I took the prayer service. I sang the worship. I was beating. Oh, then I finish and I preach to you. I sing when I strike chord. Or I'm torn between cording and the microphone. So you can't do it together. Every joint is supposed to be supplying. Supplying. That's why when you are in a relationship and the guy, you are only the one giving, he doesn't tell you something. That's why she always doesn't have money. Living on your bed, they say, you know, I don't really have cash. Hey, every joint is supposed to be supplying. Not only the guys, everybody. You give something and I give something. You give something and I give something. You buy boxes, I buy singles. Supplying. See, anybody that does not buy you anything, they don't really like you. They don't really like you. At least something small. It doesn't have to be very big and grandiose, very huge, but at least something that says, you know, I really love you. Every joint supplies here and there. So the ladies start learning how to give good gifts. Would you give good gifts? Every joint.
Something small.
Supply. Every joint.
Every joint.
Every joint. Yeah. So, oh, Pastor, we really honor you. It's nothing, Pastor, we really honor you. It's not in that. It's not in that. You've not given me anything. Oh, Pastor, we really love you. Hey. Oh, Pastor, you are my father. We close from church. You are. You don't really love me. Every joint. Every joint. At least something. Should be able to send you natural affairs. These are natural affairs. Oh. Yes, natural affairs. Let me show you an example of a natural affair. Even Saul, they sent Saul. Paul, they caught him and said, Gwen, deliver something. Acts 11. I'll show you. Acts 11. You don't like what I'm teaching you.
We like it. We like it.
So, I believe that we're going to have the best relationships. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Oh, amen. I receive it.
Sit down. Acts chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Yes, I think about, you know, during the week, I was just there and I said, Oh, let's bless this person with something.
Wow.
Yeah. Every joint. So I called Ivan and said, you know, just bless with something. That's supplying.
Wow.
Yeah. Supply. Every joint. In natural things and in natural affairs. You alone, you have four microwaves. Are you? What do you do again? Okay. You won't give your sister one. 3 irons. Every joint. So even Saul, they caught him and they sent him. Acts chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. We're about moving forward. Are you want to go home?
Oh, no.
Don't worry, we are close.
Oh, no.
And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Means that everybody put their hands together. Oh, 10 cities. I said we are starting a brother that lacks. When you see it, it means that we have 2 cities, 5 cities. That's every joint supplying. Yes. So, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, 2 cities, 20 cities, 200 cities, 2,000 cities, 20,000 cities, 200,000 cities, 2 million. Everyone according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, this is what they did in verse 30, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So they gathered, they called Barnabas and Saul. Then they gave them the relief items. Then they said, send it to those which dwell in Judea. Every joint supply. We should be able to send you. Call you and say, do this. But you see, that, do you know who's that? That's Saul. Who's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. But he's being sent. It's for you. You say you are an apostle. We can't send you. We are not able to say, do this for me. Do that for us. Get this for us. Say, Pastor, lorry fare. I've told you people that don't ask for lorry fare. If I give it to you, it's good. Use your money. That's every joint supplying. I'm teaching you how to be a responsible church member.
Yes, Jesus said.
Huh? Borrow. We use your car, we drive my car, sir. I should buy fuel. I should buy fuel for you. Every joint. Should I buy fuel for you? I should buy fuel for you. For you, every joint. You don't like what I'm teaching, you see? Do you like what I'm teaching? Every joint, supplying, everyone doing something small to help God and His church. Beautiful. We come for choir rehearsals. We come all the way from Sogakope. Every joint. Every joint. Did you see that when Jesus performed the miracles, the disciples were there to distribute the foods that were being shared?
Wow.
Every joint. I'm talking about your role in the local church. You don't like your role, eh? How many of us like our roles? Natural affairs. Yes. So we need people functioning in these affairs. Look, don't take it for granted. Jesus is well pleased when you function the way you ought to function in the church. Say, why is there mixer doing this too? You should join the sound and see why. You see that? When you join the sound, you see why it's doing. So join the sound. Say, oh, I don't have any knowledge about sound, but I think I'm very intelligent, so I'll be able to figure something out. I'll be able to figure it out. Every joint, supply. We need people to arrange. People to clean. I was very intentional about what I wrote. To dust the seats. To get the sound ready. To stand in front of there. And direct people beautifully in. Every joint supplying. Minister in songs. Eh? Some of you will ask you to minister in songs. The church will be blessed. But greatly blessed. But you are sitting there and you're saying, oh, I could sing better than that lady over there. I could even play better. I could function better. But you're not doing anything. Bass coordinations. We have the call centers. See, I asked the call center people, I said, should I buy you? I was going to buy them airtime. And God said, no. See, I feel like what you do for God, when He starts to reward you, you will be so amazed. If there's anything I've learned, nothing beats that. Yes, nothing beats that. I called somebody and the person was telling me that this person really gives a lot to the ministry. Yes, I know the people that give a lot. And she said, so when she told me, I said, that explains why. That explains why. Because I realized this supernatural thing about the fellow. Yeah. Very supernatural. Yeah. Very supernatural. And one of them is that whether the person calls is one of them plus other things. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I sort of wake up to it. It has never failed once. So I now said, that explains why. Because you see, the person might not be saying anything. But that thing has an effect of what is happening. Every joint supplying. Yes. So don't think your supplies God does not see. He's the body. He sees every supply. So I'm the only one who carries the sound, who fixes this thing. I'm the only one who cleans the place. I'm the only one who dusts the place. No. There's a great power that you evolve by doing all of these things. And you must do them willingly. And let me tell you the power that lies behind that before we continue. Never do it willing for the reward of a man. When you do it for the reward of a man, you have failed. Look to God as you do those things. Look to God as you do those things. First timers unit. We set the unit up. Don't do it because you want to. Oh, pastor said I should do it. No, you're doing it with a heart, knowing that every joint is supposed to supply one to another. Yes. One to another. So you're going to minister in natural affairs in the church. It's everybody's role. I'm not talking about, is it, oh, the leaders. No, everybody. Don't be comfortable just coming to church and seeing the place fixed and set for you to come and sit and enjoy. Every joint supplying something. Bass coordination, call centers, first timers unit, choir, instrumentalists. I'm going to open up all of those things so that we'll start strengthening the smaller units, because I'm going to be talking about the smaller units. I'm building very smartly by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So every joint doing something. Every joint is our role. Don't be satisfied with being in church and not having to do anything at any point in time. No. No. Remember, evangelism and preaching and discipleship, that one, we are all going to be doing it. Then there are natural affairs. Natural affairs. Natural affairs. Everybody look into your friends and say, are you tired?
Huh?
So, there are natural affairs. Christ is pleased with this, oh. He's pleased with these natural affairs we get ourselves involved in. You help pick up somebody from whom? You help pick up somebody from whom? So, oh, that disciple is this, I'll help get them from there. That's your rule. That's my rule. In the local church. Now, number three, your third role is to minister also to the natural needs of the brethren and your pastor. You know, while I was writing out this point specifically, the Lord said, why don't you take a look at Gaius? And I'll tell you something short about Gaius. We'll see it. I'll show it to you. So, they are natural. You're going to minister to the natural needs of the brethren and your pastor, right?
Yes.
So, we're going to look at an example of a man Paul makes reference to in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. I tried to get something, but we're still going to look at it. 1:14. So, this is Paul, who happens to preach to a man. His name was Gaius. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So, Gaius was like Paul's new convert, right? So, he gets him preached to and saved. Now, Paul later on makes reference to who this man and what he was noticeable for. Let's see Romans 16. Romans 16. The man called Gaius. Beautiful man. Beautiful man. Romans 16:23. It's a man who is a beautiful man. Yes. So, look what Paul says about Gaius. Gaius, mine what?
Host.
And the whole church saluteth you. So, Gaius found himself in the body, and he's key as being hospitable, not just to Paul, but to the whole church. Yes. The whole church is greeting him. That means that the whole church knew that, oh boy, that man called Gaius, we were 15 in number. We traveled to Kokomemle. Gaius had 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom. And 5 people, 6 people, 5 people, 6 people, 5 people, 6 people. We pack ourselves in there. And Gaius was happy. It's not like, no, these church members, we have to be careful of church members and all of those things. No. He knew how to host Paul. The whole church extended their greetings. It means he had a frequent life of hosting the church. He had this hospitality that was unexplainable. So, Gaius is meeting a need. Do you see that? He's serving the needs of the brethren and he's serving the needs of the host Paul. So, when you have things that can help the ministry, the brethren, the church, those things must be made available for its use. Do you understand what I'm saying? So important. It must be made freely available. We say we're going to carry sand. You have a tipper truck. And you go, you know, Pastor, nowadays everything is not free, you know. Just I've slashed it off to 60% and you have to pay for it. I've slashed it off to 40%, you have to pay the rest of the 60%. I'll look at you like that, I'll say, 60%. Dear Father, this one, die for him 40% and the rest of the 60% he will have to pay. So your things must be made freely available. Yeah. We have been, you know, having a few difficulties with recording the sermons. So my phone is available for record. Yeah. So we use the phone for record. For now. But what if you say that my phone is so precious and, you know, you need to handle it with care. And we can't really use it. So we can't use. You are supposed to give out resources willfully, willingly for the church. Your car, willfully. Your house, opened every time. Of course, if it doesn't cause any, if you are living with your siblings, your mother, stepbrothers, and all of that, we can't use your house. Because it's not going to help. Willfully. Do you see that? Willfully. Your energy. Willfully. Everything willfully. It's not like we are forcing. It's your role. That's how you supply in the body. Willfully. Willingly. Joyfully. So, Gaius is a good example. Who makes everything available? We say we are going to maybe go for outreach meetings. Then you are skilled at maybe setting up something. Then we get to, oh brother, can you help us set out for this outreach? Pastor, you know, it's a hard thing, but I've slashed the price. Slash, no, it's fine. Slash, we'll give you slash salvation. Jesus, slash salvation. To the brethren, freely. Oh, this man doesn't have a good shirt. Buy a good shirt for them. Trouser, buy a trouser for them. Shoe, buy a shoe for them. See, brother, it's not like every day I've seen that it's this one or that or this one. It doesn't change. You buy him something. And here we don't have a problem. You can wear one shirt joyfully and nobody's even going to even realize. So, in Romans chapter 16, verse 23, Paul recognizes his generosity together with the church. You know that church member's house where everybody has slept before? It's like, we send greetings, so Gaius, we know there. You make your resources available. See what John also said about Gaius. Now, I'll say this with quite some discretion. I tried to look into it if it was the same Gaius. But it was not too clear. But I still will use it to teach. It still paints the same picture, right? So in 3 John, John is making reference to Gaius again. 3 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 8.
Now, there are three things that are noticeable about Gaius again. In fact, 3 John was actually written to Gaius. Yeah. And then it was written to Christian brothers, but it was in fellowship of Gaius. So they spoke about the expression of his love for Gaius, John says. So in 1 John chapter, so again, it's written to the Christian brothers, but it spoke strongly about Gaius' lifestyle. Is that okay? So in 3 John 1 verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read that before we go to 5. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. So you see, it was written to Gaius, right? For the brethren. The elder unto the well-beloved. Hey, Gaius. Beloved. Whom I love in the truth. Then look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So Gaius is found faithfully doing whatever it is for the brethren. And even to people he doesn't even know. He's kind to them. Doesn't talk about them wrongly. He's kind to them. He speaks well of the brethren. Speaks well of the brethren. He extends a helping hand every time. You know, when you find a Christian brother struggling academically, it's time to help them. Don't just look at them and say, oh, me, I'm good, so God will help you, God will help you. No, make time for them. Talk to them. Say, brother, I think you are low academically. Help me. Or I will help you. 12 o'clock, let's meet. Because I've seen that you're not doing well. Some of you are good. Some of you have finished school and you're also good. You must see amongst the brethren they that need help. And then you can supply. You can have extra classes for 2 or 3 people. Yes, you can have it if you're a good student. Why should your brother suffer? So, Gaius is found faithful in whatever he does to the brethren and to strangers. Verse 6, look at something. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. He's also a heavy giver to the church. Unless he doesn't hear that the church needs something, Gaius was going to be there. He was going to be there. He was not going to sit and say, Pastor will buy it. No, he saw himself as a very key member of the church. They bear witness of the charity he had before the church. If thou bring forward on thy journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So Gaius is a good example, isn't he? Isn't he? Are you going to be like Gaius as well? Sometimes when somebody does something and I probably want to give them a gift or money or something, I feel like it's a very dangerous thing. It's like that's your reward. Your reward is in that which you were given. That's all. It has finished. So why don't you allow God to reward you? Don't you see that? Now, obviously, it's different if you don't have, and we are saying that. But if you have and you can give and you are still saying, no, these churches, the way they've now started, nowadays, the alliance and all of those. So Gaius is an example. Listen to me. Do not be found ideal in the church. Are you listening? Your role and responsibilities are key in the church. Every joint supplying. Everyone. Something small that you can do. I don't even want to say something small that you can do. You give it your best. You can sing. You are still there. What are you waiting for? Right? So we're going to quickly brush through this and then we'll be out of here. We become idle when we, number one, write that quickly before we go. Having a spectator mentality. We just come in to watch. We're not impressed. Every Sunday is for clap, singing, then we go home. They don't belong to any group, no small unit, nothing. You're just around. You're just around. Not using your gifts, number two. We saw that it's a role, so not doing it means that we are idle. Do not be idle. The devil will find work for the idle man to do. Find yourself in the church. Get yourself serving in a unit. Number three, we neglect fellowship. When we neglect fellowship, we find ourselves becoming idle. We neglect fellowship. We become idle when we avoid responsibility. Someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. Oh, someone will do it. No. Every joint supplying. Everyone doing something. Getting involved in an activity. Avoiding responsibility. The next one, refusing to be discipled and to disciple others. You say, no, I'm not in for that discipleship conversation. No, everyone giving, refusing to be discipled, refusing to be discipled. Say no, I'm mature. I can handle myself. I can handle myself. I don't need to be told what to do. All those things they are for small children, new converts, Sunday school. No, you need to give yourself to it. Are you listening? You know, I have a very serious heart for what I do, and I'm not even lying to you about it. I wish I could continually speak to every one of you, like on a very constant basis, but it's also not possible. That's why you must take discipleship very seriously. I went to evangelism yesterday, and I met a guy. I just had this, you know, knowing in my heart to go stand on the street. So I went to stand there and I met a guy. And I said, I want to share God's word with you. And he told me that. No, thank you. And I said, oh, just a few minutes, I'll talk to you. And I said, what's wrong? I'm not ready for this. So I still entreated him. I just went on with the conversation. Then I said, where are you going? I was almost to the pent area when you're walking down into the business room. That's where I went to stand. I was waiting. So I had a conversation with him. I walked with him. Then I started having a conversation with him. Then, while he was speaking to me, he started like actually listening. So, I asked him, where are we going? He said, I'm going towards a dentist. So, he walked with me. So, we got to the main Legon Ivandi outstretch. And he said, where are you going? And I said, I'm just walking off. I'm walking you off. And he said, so we kept on talking. So as we're talking, he'll ask a question, and then I'll answer. And he asks a question, then I answer. Then suddenly he said, wait. His eyes started becoming teary. He said, you just answered something that I've been asking God for the whole week. This one. Then he now started asking more questions. I walked him off to Atomic. Walked him off. We arrived actually at Medina. I walked back all the way to Medina. Before I realized I was at Medina. And I said, and that was the time I was supposed to come back, close your meeting. That's why I actually came from there. He said, no, just take my number. Give me your number. And, you know, he kept on telling me, I don't know what to do. Someone told me he was not interested. He was closed completely. By the time we got there, he was telling me, he said, I believe that God sent you. And I said, yes, God sent me. And I said, in fact, he told me to come stand wait for you. Wow. Yeah. So I walked with him. Got to my dad, I said I was going very far away. So I told him that, just take my number, flash me so I don't misplace your contact. Then I left him there, took another car, then I came back. Now fast forward, I was in my room. And at dawn, I was just sitting and thinking. And that scene flashed before my eyes. And when it flashed before my eyes, I really understood what Jesus meant when he said he was moved with compassion. I broke into tears. I didn't know when I started crying. I broke into tears. And I said, Lord. So that was when I started telling the Lord. I said, Lord, this message you'll have to give us a larger platform to preach it. Because we want many. Because many need to hear what we have on our lips. I want to answer everyone's question. I want to speak to every individual. That's my heart desire. Yes. But it's not possible. So I say, Lord, we need a bigger audience. Amplify our voices that we might resound loudly. And that was, I cried just going to bed yesterday. I just slept and I was just crying. And that was, I slept into bed. I just said, Lord, there has to be a way. So if I would have every connection with you. So when you refuse to give yourself to discipleship, you break my heart. And you break Jesus' heart as well. Because he sees you and he sees that you are scattered. You're like a sheep without a shepherd. He sees you in despair, in utter confusion. He seeks for your soul. I said, Lord, how I wish I could get to everyone. That's why when I ask you, have you called your disciple? You say, no. I feel like you are not serious. You don't understand what we are dealing with. Some of you just treat them and say, it's just one person. Do you know what that one means? Look at how I walked all the way down there because of one person. But yet still, there were other people at the top of Imani waiting for me to come and close a prayer. And because of one person, I had to walk. Keep others waiting because the 99 probably were saved. It was right for the one. Take him for a joke. He means what we do here. The guy was tearing. He said, you answered a question that I've been asking myself. He said, even right from JHS, I have confusions. I've been asking myself. I said, Lord, there has to be a greater platform. More men need to hear this word that we preach. And you know what? He's doing this for us. So that many more will be touched and many more will be reached. Listen to me, when you get into the campuses, when you get into the hostels, when you get into places, your role is what he plays through you. He works through you. He works through you. He wheels in you. He works his work through you, and that's what he's doing. He's preaching. He's teaching. He's reaching out to man. That's what Jesus is doing in this day. Blessing others, laying hands on the sick. When you see the sick, you must be plagued with pain. You say, Lord Jesus, they must be healed.
when he met people who were hungry. He didn't perform a miracle because he wanted them to know that he was a miraculous working God. He saw them fainting. He said, if we allow these people to go back, they're going to faint. Bring the heat, the fishes, the baskets. Let me multiply the fish and the bread. Let them come in. He gives thanks unto God and he multiplies them. So there's a role. He plays that role through us. This church today. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I'm going to be committed to being a faithful member of your church. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Go ahead and pray in tongues.